You may know Chef Edward Lee from his Emmy-nominated TV show, Mind of a Chef. He's here with us today to talk about his new book, Buttermilk Graffiti. In each of the Buttermilk Graffiti's 16 character-driven chapters, Lee explores a place where immigrants are making a lasting impact on the culinary and cultural landscape. He digs into the meaning of Lebanese kibbeh in Clarksdale, Mississippi, of Uyghur noodle soup in Brighton Beach, New York, pepperoni rolls in West Virginia, and pastrami in Indianapolis. He contemplates clam pizza in Connecticut, now considered a classic local dish, but originally an Italian immigrant attempted to incorporate an unfamiliar ingredient into a recipe from the old country. And not content merely to observe, he fasts for Ramadan in Dearborn, Michigan, and smokes Cuban cigars in Miami. Original recipes serve as a coda at the end of each chapter, summing up what Lee has learned and how he plans to integrate it into his own life. Chef Edward Lee is the author of Smoke and Pickles, the chef and owner of 610 Magnolia, Milkwood, and Whiskey Dry in Louisville, Kentucky, and culinary director of Succotash in Penn Quarter, Washington, D.C. He was also judge on the popular TV show Top Chef for the Kentucky season. He is a resident of Louisville, Kentucky, and in Washington, D.C. Chef Edward Lee, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you.
What a joy it must have been to write this book.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I'm curious, what about the idea of fusion cooking as a controversial matter of cultural appropriation of different cuisines? How do you define the idea of fusion cooking?
Well, so I always say there's no such thing as fusion. I think fusion is an outdated word that we, you know, used in the past to demarcate a certain cuisine. When we talk about food nowadays, and we talk about it in history, I say all food is a fusion, right? So foods don't live in a bubble. Cuisines don't live in a vacuum. All cuisines are influenced by their surrounding cultures. And so that in itself is fusion. And if you want to talk about that, like Southern food is basically an amalgam of European cultures, African-American ingredients and traditions, and American Indian agriculture and techniques. But we don't say Southern food is a fusion. Say Southern food. But all food is culturally impacted by its surroundings. And the greatest one of all is this thing that we call American food, which is basically anything that comes into this country and leaves its stamp on the American psyche. And there are many, many, many cultures that do that. And we have one of the greatest cuisines in the world because we understand, accept, and sort of embrace these many, many different immigrant cultures that have all contributed to this thing.
In the book, the chapter with Norman Van Aken made me think about the idea, the concept of how American food is grown. There's always something being added, it seems, that was indigenous to place that changed everything.
You know, most of this is something that we owe to immigrants, right? So when you think about the history of American food, the early immigrants, the Italians, the Greeks, the Germans, they left such a mark on American cuisine. We don't even think about like beer and bread, which are German influences. And it's really so embedded. And then think about like Chinese immigrants, Mexican immigrants, and the way that they've contributed to our American diet. I mean, Mexican food, you know, most Americans eat tacos once a week. So now we're in this new era where we're seeing new immigrant groups, whether it's Nigerians, Cambodians, Syrians. And now they're the new ones. They're the ones that are misunderstood and their food is foreign and it tastes weird, but they too will leave their mark on American food. And right now, Nigerian food is quickly becoming one of the hottest cuisines in America. The food is so delicious and it will eventually leave its mark on American cuisine. And that's what makes this food so exciting, is that every generation we kind of grapple with new flavors, new techniques, new words that just become, over time, part of the American lexicon.
Immigrants have always been drawn to cities, to urban areas. Is it difficult for people that live in the Rocky Mountains, say, or the Great Plains to experience the change that's happening in America?
It is actually, and I think actually the script has flipped a little bit, where in the big cities were always the sort of centers of diversity because that's where the immigrants went. But now most of the city living is just unsustainable for newer immigrants. Real estate's too expensive, and there's no jobs for immigrants there. And so what you have is they're starting to sprout out all across the country in unexpected places, small towns, places that were traditionally monocultures. When you look at a place like Louisville, Kentucky, where I live, and it's got great African food, incredible Vietnamese food, Mexican food, Thai food, Peruvian food. And you're seeing this in a town that you would not necessarily think of as being diverse. But these things are happening, and it's a fascinating thing to record and see. And I traveled throughout the country finding these little pockets of places. And they're kind of hidden. You know, they're not always, you know, on Main Street. They're not always in downtown. They're not really in front of you. But they're there. It takes a little bit of work to find them. But they're there, and the food is fabulous. And it's worth making the effort to go out and explore them.
How do you reconcile everything that you discovered and maybe just knew innately on trips to writing this book? How do you reconcile that with the idea of, say, somebody like Rick Bayless, who has built an empire on Mexican food and his Mexican restaurants, and now you find his products on the freezers and shelves of major supermarkets all over the country? How does that work?
Well, I think they can coexist. You know, let's use Mexican food as an example, right? You have someone like Rick Bayless. You also have a company like Taco Bell, right, serving a very bastardized version of Mexican food. And then you also have your hole-in-the-wall sort of Mexican families run by immigrants all over the country. And they all exist. You know, the one thing that bothers me about cultural appropriation, which is to say that we shouldn't cook the food of another culture. But to me, being a chef is an artistic expression. And all artists are influenced by their surroundings. All artists get influenced by the cultures. To think about the alternative, right, to cultural appropriation is to say then you are only allowed to cook the food of your race or heritage. To me, I don't know any statement that's more racist or more narrow-minded. So in order for us to get beyond this, in fact, we should be encouraging more people to explore outside of the culture, more people to be cooking outside of it. We should be cooking all of each other's food. Now, hopefully we do it out of a place of respect and we do it out of a place of meaningfulness, but we always have to go out there and explore. If anything, that's our job as chefs, to go out there and explore. And if someone like Rick Bayless finds financial success from that, then so be it. But that is out there. You know, we can't limit information and techniques and culture to only certain people because of their race or color. To me, that's not sustainable.
But it's not the food that we grew up with, our heritage. That's what sticks with us the longest. And that's a good thing, I think.
It really is, you know. And there's so many people I met throughout this experience where, you know, their parents or their grandparents or their great-grandparents had come from a certain place. And, you know, the first thing that you lose is usually the language, the history, maybe religion comes next. But the very last thing that you lose is the food. It's the thing that people hold on to the most or the longest. And I think it's because there is this need to sort of understand where we came from. And there is a culinary DNA inside all of us. And we do long to keep a hold of some little piece, some link to our homeland, even though it was generations ago. And I think food is that. Recipes are that. That's why we cherish them. And that's why these restaurants, these community restaurants all over the country, offer a link to that. You know, maybe I can't go to Mexico. Maybe I can't get to Nigeria, but I can get to this restaurant, and it gives me a little bit of a place of comfort.
Yeah, we all taste our grandmother's cooking.
It's true. And that's why it's important that we keep on cooking, so that we don't lose that taste of grandma's cooking.
All right. Well, Chef Edward Lee, thanks for being with us today on Around Cincinnati.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Chef Edward Lee about his new book, Buttermilk Graffiti, and the chef's journey to discover America's new melting pot cuisine. For Around Cincinnati, I'm David Delegater.
Thank you.